Blog Talk Radio.
Woke up this morning looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Welcome to Francie and Friends, everybody.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome.
How's everybody tonight?
Doing good. It's another night in paradise.
Tonight
we have a few random special guests, just kind of taking everything in stride.
Sounds like a plan, yeah. William. Hey, welcome, Francie, to your show.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, tonight we are coming down from the land down under with Minty, Mark Bishop, Minty, a.k.a. Comedic Arts. Very talented,
hey, Minty.
YouTuber. We're really excited to have him. I mean, I'm getting all these messages on Facebook. Is Minty the guest? Is Minty the guest? Is Minty the guest? Is Minty the guest? Everybody wants to talk to Minty. So we're just waiting for him to call in. Nick, you got some book announcements.
Yes, indeed,
hey,
I do, Francie. I've got some book announcements.
Awesome.
We're getting ready to usher in our spring titles, and we're starting this week with Rochelle Dillon's The Stain, and we're getting Tom Sawyer's Twilight Zone collection in gear to come out very soon, probably by next weekend. It's going to be in full force, and it's going to be available for all of you to read and peruse. And also Jason Gaylord's collection, Sacrificial Sons. We've got Raina Raina Young's book. She has an all-women's anthology that's going to be coming out within the next couple of weeks. And all kinds of stuff, not to mention Terry Horns' book, The A Ragman, which is based on my original 1988 mass market paperback, The Ragman. And I kind of chose him to kind of redo it for me and update it and give it his own special touch. And I read it, and it's incredibly awesome, and I'm so proud. My intentions are to have it out by my birthday next month, May 7th. So we've got so many other things going on. And always, as always, go to blackbedsheetbooks.com and check out the stuff that we've got and the stuff that is coming. So without further ado, Francie.
Yeah, I highly recommend Jason Gaylord's book, too. I read it in like a day and a half. It was a good, fast read, too. So it was excellent. Very entertaining. Very good read.
Tom, with your new Twilight Zone book coming out, is it too soon to ask for an autograph, or do we need to wait for the full release and publishing party?
Well, if I had a copy, I'd sign one. It's In Rod We Trust, because I thought I'd play on words there, you know. And, I hope to, you know, hopefully, you know, because I was planning on doing like a big book release party and all that in October when I turned the big 6-0 this year. God, am I getting old, Jesus. You know, I don't feel
that's right.
It's
just a number, don't worry.
Yeah, it's like, I'm too old to grow up now, man. So, you know, I was planning on having some things this summer, you know, when this thing gets loosened up and we can not have to worry about social distancing and can, you know, do it. So, you know, so that'd be cool, you know. Like I said, I read Jason Gaylord's book and I was like, wow, that was really good. I couldn't put it down. In fact, I started reading it one at night and I could hardly wait to get up the next morning to finish reading it. So it was very good. So,
well, those are the best kind of books to have right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's quite a number of them here at Black Bedsheet Books. I'll say that. So, I just wish I could read faster so I could get through more of them. So, how are you, William? What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just trying to stay out of trouble as always. And, you know, today we had some really bad thunderstorms in Florida, so I actually took a writing break and, you know, basically spent the day on the PlayStation instead. So, good to take a mental break and just unwind for a little bit.
I don't blame you. Yeah, I think I'm going to take a break from writing for a while and start getting on the marketing end of it and start pushing stuff. And, you know, I mean, I write a lot, so I can scale it back a little and still be ahead in the ball game and start doing the promotional marketing, get, you know, just that end of it. So, how about you, Francie? What's going on with you?
Oh, not much. I was just kind of searching around on Facebook a little bit. Hey. All right.
Yes.
Hey, we got area code 714 and area code 830. Which I believe is Brett and JL.
It's 7.
Hey, welcome, guys.
Me for sure. Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Yeah. How you
What's
doing?
What's going on, Francie?
I'm kind of thinking that Mark might be working on some other projects right now, and maybe he won't call in tonight.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
So,
I mean, there's always another night.
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
Francie, I'm wondering if I could do a little something quick here in honor of Mark Bishop, just for shits and giggles. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, a little too loud.
There it is.
Hell yeah, I've been a fan of Mark Bishop for a long fucking time. And it'd be really, really nice. But you know, that's just, we are where we are right now, so let's listen to this. In honor of Mark Fisher.
I'm not going to give up on him yet. I'm not going to give up on him yet.
I need to ask you guys how all that, to every single one of you, how that sounded. Was it too hot? Was it too low? What it was? Because I'm running everything through my studio and my mixing board.
It's all good. It actually sounded just right.
Yeah, I was almost
ready to hear the filmed in Frankenton.
Yeah.
See, right now I'm building everything up to work through my phone to where everything, my computer, my synthesizers, everything work directly to the phone. So I'm glad to hear that that didn't sound too like overpowering or anything.
No, yes, it sounded great.
That was good. Awesome, dude. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a great transfer.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, folks.
Hey, Brett and William and Tom and everybody. I was trying to call in, but I think my cell phone is possessed. It's been possessed for a couple of weeks, and it's been getting worse. I don't want to buy another cell phone. So anyway, I grabbed this phone. I wanted to say for
your
all the viewers, all
hell.
The listeners, and everything about that are listening because they're expecting Mark Bishop, Minty, to call in. He hasn't called in yet. Hopefully, he will. Fingers crossed. But who here has watched any of his YouTube stuff?
All of them. Going back to the beginning. Are you kidding me, man? Come on, dude.
The thing is, and I wrote to him about this too. I didn't know anything about him until, you know, whenever a new Star Wars movie comes out, before it comes out, I'm kind of so into like Star Wars that I don't care about spoilers. I always want to like find out what's going to happen. And this last time around with The Rise of Skywalker, around about, I guess, November-ish, I was tuning into a lot of stuff on YouTube trying to figure out what they're going to put in Star Wars. And I got the gist of all the controversy and everything, so I wanted to know more. And it on a side note, it really pisses me off that that George Lucas filmed a bunch of scenes with like Anakin and everything, and that the Emperor had like about 20 minutes of him filmed, and then people were saying no, they cut him down, and no, they took Anakin out, and no, and this and that and stuff. But in the process of like listening to all that on YouTube, I came across Minty, Comedic Arts, and so I forgot which episode I saw of him for the first time, but I liked it so much that I kept wanting to see more. Okay, well, what has he got to say about this one and this one, this next one? And just a gradual process, I just kept like going through to see what he has to say about movies and things. And I even when another time that I wrote to him, I told him, dude, I didn't say dude exactly, but that they should actually, studios should actually employ him to include some of that stuff as extras for special edition DVDs or something, because he really does his research. And another unique thing about Minty is his show itself is unique. It's just him with all of his prized possessions and collections behind him, and in his Australian accent, hi, this is Minty, and we've got a show for you, and all that. It's just really fantastic. And then, you know, it starts with the top 10. Those of you that don't know or haven't watched enough, he doesn't just do that. There's one time that he was actually in a forest or something. He was saying, "Hey, I'm going to show you this, show you around these woods," and you know, it was pretty cool. But really, he just—I don't know if he does it all by himself, just alone. But I saw a photo of his setup, and he's actually facing his desk. And he's just got his laptop with his camera up, just focused on him. And then he, you know, he splices it and edits afterwards. But the research and his personality and everything is just really fantastic. That's what drew me to him, too. And I hear say that he's kind of a comedian, too, like a stand-up comic. So if he does call in, Minty, if you do call in, we want to ask you about that kind of thing. If you've done any stand-up in Australia, and where did you hail from? How did you get started and everything? So if you're listening, please call in. I think if he doesn't call in, I know that Francie had a conversation with him not too long ago trying to get him on the show, and he was saying that he's really super shy. It took a little bit to actually persuade him, but he did say yes and everything. But I think that might be behind maybe how he might not call in and stuff, because he hasn't responded all day or all week to, it is a little unusual for a guest to not respond beforehand or anything, but sometimes, you know, they call in anyway. But I think Francie, while I'm talking, Francie is actually talking to Mark right now on her laptop, it seems.
Holy shit,
so we're
dude.
We're going to try to see what the problem is.
Did she
gave
speak?
Me a thumbs up. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
a
yeah.
Thumbs up on
yeah
Mark.
She's giving me a
there
thumbs up.
There we go.
Up.
We got it, man.
Groovy coolies.
Awesome, man.
And I told them before the show, about an hour before the show, that, listen, I kind of realize that you're shy and everything, but just listen to the show if you're a little, you know, skeptical, and maybe you'll call in. I think maybe he might have been.
If he could know about how people want to talk to him.
That would be cool. She's getting excited and everything now, too. But I did kind of want to do an introduction for him in the first place. So things are actually working out. Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. And also, on another side note, because I liked him and I've seen so many of his shows and stuff, I just out of the blue decided to connect with him about 3 months ago or so, around back in February. And I asked him, hey, I got a copy of Halloween 4. I'll sign it for you and send it to you. Didn't want anything from him. I just got the feeling, because he's such a movie fan, that he would really appreciate it. And just leave it at that. And I sent him a copy of Looks Like a Rat to Me, too. And he sent me a photo. Well, he put a photo on Facebook of, I got Halloween 4. And then he showed his comic collection, which is a rack of, like, DC Comics and all kinds of stuff. And it showed my Looks Like a Rat to Me, like, among them. And I thought, yay! Hey, that's great! I reached out all the way from here to Australia to this guy I didn't know previously, and he's jazzed about that. So, you know, I mean, it looks like he's going to Francie.
Yeah, I talked to him. He said send him the call-in number.
Oh, groovy. Let me give you to Francie, and she'll update you. It looks like he's going to call in. Hold on just a second. Let Francie talk.
Holy groovy.
Yeah, I just talked to him on
Holy
Facebook.
Shit, really? We're going to get
yeah,
this
I just
guy.
Talked to him on Facebook.
Cool.
And
nice.
He is calling from Australia, so we're going to figure out. And he's seen the call-in number, and he said, okay, I'll talk to you in just a little bit.
And also,
so,
in Australia, we must remember in Australia, they're in 2023, so we got to adjust for the, you know, the time difference.
And I did some research on him, and he is actually one of the most successful YouTubers out there today.
Cool. I'm not surprised. I mean,
we'll make him feel welcome.
You know. Yep. You know, I mean, he knows his stuff, and I have to admit, I was actually almost laughing because
I saw last week he actually did one on Titanic, and he even brought out the famous oyster dip discussion. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's done his homework. This guy knows his stuff.
Exactly, dude. And here's the other thing about Mark Bishop. Like, he does – he's been doing this stuff for many, many years.
Okay, you guys.
And yeah, what?
I think we got him. I think we got him.
We got him?
I think we got him. Is this Mark Bishop all the way from the land down under?
Hello, how's it going?
How are you doing?
Mark Bishop, holy shit, we got him.
All right.
How is everyone?
Pretty good. Welcome.
We are fantastic. And Mark, one thing I got to say is our number one listening countries in the world, United States, well, of course, that's going to be number one. Spain is number two. Australia is number three.
Oh, awesome.
So a lot of people listen to us in Australia.
Oh, well, hello to everyone. Hi to everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
we have so many questions for you, dude. First of all, if I may, this is Brett from Baldhead Radio. If I may ask my number one question, and I've been a fan of yours for probably like the 5 or 6 years now. Why the sunglasses? Why the sunglasses?
It just makes me feel safe. I just like wearing them. They make me feel happy. They make me feel confident. And I guess I just also wanted to give the character that I portray in the videos a little bit of a flair. Because, like, you know, I'm old school. Like, I remember when YouTube was in its infancy and you had the nostalgia critic who had his hat and you had the angry video game nerd who had his glasses and his pens, and I just wanted to have aviators, and it just worked out well. It just makes me feel happy and safe, and sometimes my eyes go a little bit wonky as well, so it just seems to fit, and yeah, it's comfortable.
Okay, let me say as a female.
Hey, you're styling, man. That's all.
Let me say as a female watching the videos with your sunglasses, it's hot.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, honestly, Nick's
that's
right here. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to say it's hot, though, but it's cool. I'll say it's cool.
Yeah,
that's interesting,
but
like,
as a female, watching you with those
how
sunglasses,
ugly
it's hot.
I will say, okay, listen, I saw one video where you weren't wearing the sunglasses. I wish I could remember which movie you were reviewing. I think it was an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. So you did not have the sunglasses on. I will say, sir, that you are a very good-looking man.
Oh, thank you. But no one ever in the comments section. No, that's yeah. No, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's just I never really get told that, because if you look at the comment section, I usually get told, oh, you know, your head's too big, why are you bald? Why do you have a beard? But you know, it's okay. It's all good.
Now,
appreciate it.
So, now I do want to say this much. You know, like Brett, I've followed you for many, many years, and every time I get the notification that you've just uploaded, it's almost like Christmas morning. So I'm like, yes, finally, which movie is it going to be this week? And
oh wow,
one thing I do want to say, I don't know if it's because of, like you said, about being shy and nervous or anything like that, but I just love how you do the sign off where you're like, well, see ya. I was like, wow, that's a great quote.
Yeah, I've always
that really
said that
is.
In my life.
Classic.
Totally.
Classic.
I love it when you just like disappear off the screen. You do your lean over and like, see ya. It's amazing.
It's interesting you say that because, oh, sorry, I cut you off. Sorry.
That's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's interesting you say that because a few months ago, I went on a date with this really nice girl, and we came back to my house, and she said, "Well, you're a YouTuber, let's watch some of your videos." So I put them on, and I thought it was going to be boring, but she liked it, and she said, "I just love the way you jump up and say see you." That was something that really stood out to her as well. She's like, "Oh, that see you bit, that's the best bit." Brad, I wanted to talk to you about something. A few weeks ago, you put up a video during lockdown, and you were talking to your cats.
Oh my gosh! I talk
that.
To those cats a lot.
No. I really, really love that because I like it when people are nice to animals, and just the way you were talking to your cats with so much love, and I did that really struck a chord with me. The way you were talking to your cats, that was really cool. I really liked that.
Oh well, thank you.
Well, remember.
Thank
remember,
you. I always talk to my cats like that. Like I do not say meow. Don't talk to them like the babies. Even if they go meow, what? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from me now? Oh, you want kitty treats.
I really liked how you were talking to the cats.
Well, you should see her come Christmas
like
time when she's saying, "Get away from the tree."
did you see that? There's this homeless cat that showed up in our yard. All of a sudden, I named him Morris. And I'm starting to feed him, and he used to run away from me. And now he's, like, coming up to me, and he's rubbing me, and he's letting me pet him, and he's talking to me all the time, too, now. And he's, like, my little pet project.
Well, you can always tell a good person when animals like them.
Exactly.
Yeah, this cat, he really likes me. He came up to me. It took a little while. It took a couple of weeks. But now he just follows me wherever I go outside again. And I'm just like, "Oh, I'm Morris." Yeah, he looks like Morris from Nine Lives.
I love animals.
And that's something that you appreciate too, is that the fact that you love animals also.
Yeah.
And
my favorite is probably dogs.
Is what?
My favorite is probably dogs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I want a dog, but Nick says, "No. We got cats."
Not yet.
I actually wanted to get a piglet. Last year I was going to get a pig, and I was going to call it Lewis. I don't know why I was going to call it Lewis. That's just what my brain came up with. I was going to get a little piglet, and I was going to call it Lewis, and I thought it would be really cool. You know, I'll take it for a walk and all that. But I then found out they grow really, really, really big. So I thought, maybe I won't get a pig.
You have no idea how many times I tried to ask Nick, "Can we get a pig? How about those teacup piglets? Have you seen those?"
Yeah, those really little tiny ones.
Do you want one or do you want to... Yeah, I'm like, "Nick, no, we got cats." "Nick, no, we got cats."
I honestly think that it would be sacrilegious to have a pig and yet barbecue his brother's ribs on the barbecue.
just let him watch.
Yeah. Exactly.
You better behave or this
yeah.
will happen to you.
You
okay.
better behave or this will happen
B.
to you. You know, or go with plan B, scare the neighbors, tell everybody the pig's name is Jody.
Is
anybody
that the baby
that
back
there? Amityville Horror.
Jody from Amityville Horror.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, I want to ask you some serious questions here. Let's bring it back down to where you come from.
I'm in quarantine with this guy, guys. Help me.
Okay, we're not going to quarantine with this guy because he's out in Australia.
Don't worry.
So.
Nick, do you want to say anything?
If you couldn't quarantine with this guy, you would be like sucked down into his basement. I'm not sure that he does his things. Basically, let's get back to, wow, where I was starting from. Mark, I want to ask you very serious questions on, you do a hell of a lot of research. You do a hell of a lot of work. You do the kind of work that I appreciate every video that you put out. And I've been watching your videos for over 5 years. I first discovered you. I'm not sure where I first discovered you from, but it was a long, long time ago. One of those YouTube dives, I guess you could say. But what I want to know is, you do this stuff on a weekly basis, and it's a hell of a lot of research that you do. So how do you get all that research done? And you're all by yourself. You don't have a production team. You don't have, like, a bunch of, like, you know, production people around you. You do truly do this all yourself. Is this correct?
Well, yeah, that is correct. But it's actually quite easy for me because I've been watching movies ever since like, I was, you know, crawling around the place. And, like, I've grown up watching DVDs, and I've grown up, you know, watching DVD documentaries and listening to commentary. So a lot of the stuff I already know. And I do go and read. I read online articles. Sometimes I'll go on Wikipedia, even though that's not really reliable. And I think you do have to be careful sometimes because I try to check out several resources, because sometimes you might go to one website where it supposedly has an interview, or it supposedly has someone who worked behind the scenes of a particular movie, and it might not be right. I think probably in the earlier days I was probably a bit more sloppy, and I would, like, you know, oh yeah, there's that IMDb, but I think that a lot of, like, anyone can just go into that and edit it. But yeah, a lot of it is, like, I've accumulated it just from life, just from being a movie fan my whole entire life, and watching, and I've always been intrigued with those behind the scenes stuff that happened, how a movie got structured and how it came to be. And I'm sounding really British. Whenever I'm nervous, I sound really British. when I'm confident and everything's cruisy, I'm like fully Australian. I'm a full Australian bogan when I'm confident. I'm like, g'day mate, how's it going? But when I'm really nervous, I turn into like a British butler, and I'm like, oh yes, top of the morning to you. I don't know why. I think it's a stress thing. It's like, oh, I'm stressed. Oh. Quick, better go back to being British.
I want to say that, of course, we all know that you're Australian, and I like that you come from the point of view of doing your movie reviews from an Australian point of viewpoint, which is actually very refreshing. I was wondering, I have a personal request, okay? If you would do a review, okay, if you would do a review of, there was an Australian movie done, and boy, Arisa, I wish I'd done my research right here. But there was a soapy star back in the 90s that did this crazy, it was Welcome to Whoop Whoop. Welcome to Whoop Whoop. If you could do a review
of
Welcome to Whoop Whoop, did you do one already?
No, I haven't done one already, but yeah, I remember in the 90s, I think my mum hired it, Welcome to Whoop Whoop. But I didn't watch it. I think I was too busy reading comic books. But I'll look into it. In Australia, whoop whoop is a terminology that basically means you're in the middle of nowhere. It's like, oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to whoop whoop, which means I don't know, wherever. That's sort of like, yeah. So, but yeah, I'll definitely look into the whoop whoop movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a definite B movie in Australia, done with, I can't remember the soapy star that starred in it, but it was back in the 90s, and I got turned on to it by some Australian friends on the internet back in those days. And it's funny because the internet was a place where you really got in contact with people all over the world that we never had the ability to do. And then I had a lot of Australians tell me, hey, you got to check out this crazy-ass movie. So if you could do, for me, Brett Crewson on Bald Head Radio, just a welcome to Whoop Whoop review, that would be awesome, dude. That would be totally awesome.
The only thing is that when I have to have sort of like a I don't want to sound mushy or give like a textbook answer, but I also have to have kind of like a spiritual connection with the movie. Like I have to really feel the movie and really connect with it and really sort of just have this understanding so I can get into the movie's DNA, so to speak. But
no,
as long as I've got that connection and that kinship with the movie, then yeah, sure, definitely.
You know what, Mark?
When you were talking about that, one thing that I realized, we were shuffling through your Minty videos because Nick watches it like 6 hours a day. Love you.
Wow.
But I seen one, and one of the best things that I ever seen you, and I love Drop Dead Fred. That is one, Rick Mayer, and it seems like you're a huge fan of Rick.
Me and my wonderful sister Becky, we grew up with Rick Mayer. We love him. We watched him in The Young Ones. We watched him in Bottom.
Oh, I love The Young Ones.
I can always remember watching his comic relief stand up in 1986 when he was just so outrageously rude and so outrageously funny and just so outrageously wonderful. Do you know what? When Drop Dead Fred came out, I think that there was a conception that it was like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because my parents hired that video for me to play at my birthday party when I think I was like turning 8.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think the conception was it's a kid's film.
Wait,
because it's about an imaginary friend.
When you were turning 8. That was 1990.
And like we've got this movie where Rick Mayer's crawling around the floor and looking up, you know, women's skirts, and so clearly it wasn't really a child centric film.
Nope.
And you gave a perspective, and I messaged you and I said, wow, you gave a whole new perspective about Drop Dead Fred that I never even thought about. And I thought that you covered that film so brilliantly, and I love the fact
that
the writers and the producers were so set on Rick to do Fred that they would not compromise. And I thought that, you know, yeah, they made the best deal ever to keep Rick in that film.
Because, as you know, originally, that film was intended to be the start of a new franchise, which was to replace Freddy Krueger. When you look at it in hindsight, which is always a luxurious way to look back on things, he was actually meant to be the next Freddy Krueger.
Wow.
Going from one Freddy to another, because New Line Cinema had just killed off Freddy Krueger in Freddy's Dead. So like, oh, well, we need another scary boogeyman. And then they're like, oh, well, what about this Drop Dead Fred guy? He's pretty creepy.
And also,
it just didn't work out that way, that's all.
Yeah.
But what they got was less Elm Street and more Young Ones.
If we could go back to the
Young
Ones. Let's go back to the Young Ones.
My favorite episode of Young Ones, we got the poster goose.
Rick Mayall in The Young Ones, of course, but then we had Neil, and I love Neil in The Young Ones so much.
Yeah.
Because he was just
I love his voice.
He was like,
I love him. He's like, it's as if the kettle killed itself and rather be used by me.
Oh my God, like, how is
and then
everything?
And he's like, I've got a terrible hangover.
All right. the one thing, okay, listen, the one thing with the DVDs and the downloadable content, there was one specific theme that you did not focus on, and that is the bathtub scene with Neo. And he went into the bathtub, and he had his guitar, and there was a scene that was cut where he started playing his guitar after the light was cut off, and he said, "Neil, we all use electricity, the same as we all pay for the electricity." And he turned the light off, and then he sang, "Hello, dark and my old friend." And they cut that.
Oh, you know, I didn't
they
even know
cut
that.
That whole thing. Yeah, and they cut the whole thing because of copyright issues.
Yeah.
I know that one of the songs was entirely removed from its DVD release. It was the episode where Vivian says that he's pregnant and they have to go out and look for jobs. There's a scene where they're sort of walking around London town.
Right.
There's a band playing a song, and I know that for copyright issues that was taken out. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that Neil sang the Sounds of Silence. That's pretty cool. And how creepy is the fifth housemate?
Right.
Oh yeah. Hands down.
The one that just sat there.
No.
I never noticed her until you pointed it
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The fifth housemate was the shadow.
It's apparently
that
a conspiracy theory that's been
had
left for a while.
Yeah.
Man,
I'm sorry,
don't
you
miss the '90s?
Every episode had one person that was like shadow person sitting, like all these behind the scenes stuff that I think honestly that those of us that really love any particular series, whether it be the Young Ones or what have you, we really pay attention to all these details. And that's why I like Mark's show. That's why I like Minty's show.
Minty, I do have one question for you. Have you ever done Mr. Bean the movie?
No, but I find the requests are quite conflicting because there are some people who are like, oh, you've got to cover Mr. Bean, you've got to cover Mr. Bean. And then there are some people who are like, don't cover Mr. Bean. There is actually a few British comedies that I would like to check out. Like, I would like to look into 40 Towers. I don't know if that will
Good
resonate
choice.
With anyone, though. And another British comedy that came out during the 90s called Men Behaving Badly, which I really, really like. I always thought that would be interesting to explore. There, I think there was a US one. There was a US version of it.
Now,
for
the Britcoms, how about Are You Being Served?
You know what?
Dude,
yeah,
I'm
made
just
that my
say that. Are you
be really happy?
Are you being
Sorry,
served?
Can you say that
again? Oh my God, you just handled it, dude.
Yeah, are you being served? Which was it's a semi older Britcom, came out around the time of Fawlty Towers, and think of. Think of Monty Python in a retail environment.
Huh. Yeah, I remember it used to be shown on Channel 10 on weeknights here in Australia quite a lot in the 90s. That and The Good Life.
Yep.
Are You Being
also a good
Served
choice
was,
too.
Yeah, Are You Being Served was like one of my favorite Brit sitcoms from back in the 80s and I think it was the late 80s. And it just basically, it was the dry British humor of people working in a mall, basically.
Yeah.
Or in not a mall, but a convenience, what do you call
shop,
it?
Yeah.
Department
store.
Store, yeah.
A clothes store.
Yeah. The comedy of that was so dry and so beautiful. And the relationships that they all had with each other, they were all so, like, disenfranchised with their situations that you can't get more comedy out of that.
There are also a lot of American shows that I would like to explore. Like, I really want to do one on The X-Files, and I really want to do one on the George Reeves Superman TV series.
Oh, that would be good. Oh, that'd be funny.
That'd be fun.
Hey, because I think
Mark, story. Yeah.
I got one of your biggest fans here, and he really wants to talk to you a lot.
That's
well, not
you?
A lot.
All right. He's right here. And Nicholas Grabowski, Stephen King says.
I salute you,
Nicholas Grabowski.
No, that was Clive Barker.
Nicholas, Stephen King said, keep them coming, Nicholas Grabowski.
Here we go.
Nicholas Grabowski wants to talk to Mark Bishop, and he's such a huge fan of yours.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
and here I am. Yeah, I've been, like, itching. I've been pacing.
Yeah.
Been listening to the show going, okay, when am I going to come in? Hey, Mark from Sacramento, California, all the way to Australia, I extend you my hand.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, I explained at the towards the beginning of the show just what I messaged you a couple of weeks ago about how I became privy of you through going through Star Wars stuff on YouTube, and then I found you around about last November and everything, and then I somewhere along the way I thought, you know, hey, Halloween 4, I'll send him a book, he'll love it, and one thing just kind of leads to another. And over the course of time, it's like I've come to figure, and I was thinking this in my mind during the show too, was that at least in my mind, you're as big of a celebrity as we can get.
I think you guys are pretty famous yourselves, though.
Oh, well, yeah, I've met many celebrities myself, too, and so has other, and Francie's had, all kinds of people on her show. But it's like, you know, I think it's just the process of watching your episodes every day. And I think, I know that it comes from my love of movies itself, and I like to hear what you have to say and your top 10 and everything. And I think it's the way that you present yourself, which it's different than Watch Mojo and with their top 10 and with everything. It's just you're unique. I don't know.
I think
part of the overall thing is that your Aussie, your presentation, the way that you wear your fandom on your sleeve by having everything in the background when you're doing it, and all the way down to, and we got to cover this too while you're on the show too, is your dinosaur puppet. I forgot his name.
Ah, Squiggles.
Yeah, yes, Squiggles.
Squiggles.
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. So, you know, and I hope that we correspond for years from now. I mean, you know, it's great hooking up with somebody that I admire from YouTube and with all that and a bag of chips. But what I wanted to say to the was what, and now it's Minty Comedic Arts, and I get the perception that you might have done some stand-up comedy, or where do you hail from as far as doing that? Have you done stand-up comedy, and what led you to actually sit down and say, I'm gonna go on YouTube and create this. Where did it all come from?
I've never done stand-up comedy. I've always been a class clown. I would put me in the category of class clown. All throughout my life, in social situations, in school, in college. Sometimes being a class clown would work and everyone would sort of catch on and be on board. Sometimes, you know, in certain classrooms, it didn't really catch on. But it was basically, I like to think of myself as I saw an interview of Ozzy Osbourne once, and he said he liked to see himself as a lovable loon. That's how I like to see myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, you know, just
Exactly. That's the way that you come across, too. And you do it in a comedic way, or you add some comedy. It's not like reporting the news or anything. You're just yourself in front of the camera, and you express your love for movies. And like Brett was talking to you about how he was impressed about how the research that it takes to go into everything before you do a show. And it's just overall, it's just so impressive and unique in a way. And it wouldn't be unique if it wasn't for your uniqueness. But it's just the whole thing. And I got the impression that that maybe you did. You know, if you got away from your shyness a little bit,
really
would be a great stand-up comedian.
Well, what really sort of got the video aspect started is like back in 2007, I found YouTube for the first time and I saw the Angry Video Game Nerds video on Back to the Future, and that really hit a chord with me because I played that game and I hated it, and it just really resonated with me, and the anger and the frustration that he was portraying in that show was like, yes, I had that when I was, you know, nine. But I didn't want to be. I didn't want to do that.
Anyway,
I wanted to be. I enjoyed watching him. What made me want to do it myself was watching the Nostalgia Critic. He was the one that actually, you know, back 10 years ago, I used to watch him and think, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. And the third major influence I had was a YouTuber called Oliver Harper. He does movie retrospectives. He's brilliant. He's wonderful. He's recently made a documentary.
Oh, wow.
He to me, broke that mold of angry reviewer critic because he was more presented it like documentary and was more collective. And that made me realize that it can be done, but without the angry reviewer shtick.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Mark. For myself, you know, since we were talking about how some of the people react to some of your videos and everything else, and some of the comments, you know, when I'm not writing, I'm actually a resident Titanic historian here for South Florida. So I was very happy to see that you were covering the Cameron film. So in the midst of it, I actually called one of my friends who works at the Sydney Maritime Museum. And it was so funny because, you know, I called her up. I was like, listen, wanted to let you know that there's this great clip that just got released. You know, it's 10 things you didn't know about Titanic. And she goes, well, wait a minute. Is that from Minty? I'm like, yeah, Minty Comedian Cart. She's like, great. Hold on 1 minute. She gets on her phone. She's like, okay, listen, Bob, I need you to hold my calls for the next 14 minutes. 15, let's round it to an even 15 minutes. Do not have me call anybody.
Wow.
And so they actually shut down the phone line to the office so they could watch the episode.
Well, I hope they enjoyed it and that I wasn't boring.
Oh, no, you weren't boring at all. I got the phone call afterwards and, you know, happy campers all around.
No, that's excellent. Wow, sorry, I've gone a bit quiet because I'm just processing it. I don't usually go speechless, but yeah, I'm a bit speechless. some of my friends will probably
sorry
be
about
that. With
that.
you know,
no
Mark,
worries,
before other people ask you questions, I know that we've got at least another caller, I wanted to, as I see you like on Facebook and things and some of the naysayers, you got to understand that when I watch you, it's on TV, so I don't see the comments or anything. And my son, that I get every other week, he was just here this weekend. I just took him home like a few hours ago. But he watched Inner Space yesterday, one of his favorite all-time movies, and then I showed him your top 10 on Inner Space, and he was like really into it and everything. He's like 15 years old and autistic, and he's really really thought that was great.
Missy's name.
And That was a side point. The thing is, I've been privy to some of the naysayers. It's some of the things that you posted on Facebook about what people say, like your accent or the way that you say things or mispronounce things and stuff like that. And I kind of mentioned it frivolously when I messaged you once, too. I want to let you know that everything you do is okay. And just keep doing it, whether you mispronounce things or not. You're totally getting across anyway. And sometimes, you know, I go, I thought that Toby Hooper was Tobe for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then the people in the industry were saying, no, his name's Toby. And then I realized that, well, people call him Tobe for short. It's like, okay, that it doesn't matter.
I think, you know, stuff
like that. And it's not because of your accent or anything, and it's not because of your glasses. It's not because of, you know, you're uniquely you. And no matter what they say about you, all the little few and far between people, because most people adore you, is just keep doing what you do. Be very proud of it. And I love your responses to them. You kind of respond to them in love or sarcastic love. But, you know, it's just everybody, people love you. And people, I'm surprised in a way that when we got this thing started with the idea of doing this show was how many people have heard of you and stuff. Everybody on this show has heard of you. So it's like, wow. It's like we tapped into something really great here with this comedic guy that has all this great information that we can watch over and over again. You produce like more than one a week. It's like I always – the first thing that I do when I wake up every morning is I turn on the news for like 5 minutes, and then I go right to YouTube to see what Minty has done next.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And once again, I'm processing and taking it all in. That's, wow, it's made me speechless. No one's ever really told me anything like that before. Well, like in person. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's really, really nice.
Oh, you're welcome.
To say,
you know, you should, like, step out of
your
shell sometimes
and
let more people interview you, because stuff like this is great. People want to get to know you. And stuff, and don't be shy. It's like, and you're doing a great job, by the way, on the show. It's like, it's totally awesome. And we're here to encourage you, not just interview you, but encourage you and tell you that you're doing a great job. You've influenced all of us. You really, really have. And before I really go get long-winded and stuff, I know that we have other callers. But God bless you, Minty. And I'll probably talk to you in another, like, 10 minutes or so. Here's Francie again.
I was going to say,
Minty, Brett, who's on the show, also has a show. He has a radio show.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you guys should connect.
Well, that's very that's very cool, Francie.
Yeah.
I thank you very much. Actually, I got my start on Francie's show, which...
Yeah.
The Francie show you're
Maybe
on right now.
Maybe you should reach out for Mark. And, Mark, there's one thing that, you know, mentioning names wrong, I'm American. I still cannot pronounce Robert Angelino Massimino. And there's one guy that he sponsored my show from the get-go. And he's here tonight, J.L. Patello, and he's a big fan of yours, too. J.L., you've been quiet.
No, I think he's still quiet.
Yeah.
He's still quiet. He is
Who?
Quiet.
Who? I think,
I didn't hear what you said,
personally.
Who's J.L.? Yeah, I thought J.L. was still on. I guess, J.L. hung up. Okay. Yeah.
But he is a fan, though, just for the record.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Brett.
And for the record, the show, like, technically lasts for an hour, but it's starting to cut off into an after party, so we have, like, another half hour where listeners can, like, tune in throughout the week and forever.
and hear what we have to say from now on. So I think I think that might be it too. I think we kind of like I probably talk too much.
Yeah, Mark, you have been better than what I expected.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. With the naysaying in the comment section, I think that like at the moment, I think that because of the current circumstances, which I won't go into, I think a lot of people are a bit sort of scared and are a little bit angry, and you know that's okay. You know, if they want to say this or if they want to say that, that is perfectly fine. They're within their rights to do so, and you know, I'm an adult, so I can handle it. I think that with me is that I feel like if I get like a ton of it all at once, then I've failed. I haven't done my job right. So I put it sort of more on me.
Exactly. If they're watching you and they're commenting, then they're paying attention, and that's a lot of sacrifices that we had to make with Francie and Friends. Also, we had a bunch of haters because I had some co-hosts and. Then they're not going to be co-hosts.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know, you can do better on your own, you know.
Go
do your own show, Brett. That's not what I meant by you. But, you know,
you can't change
anybody's opinion. And the fact is, why waste your time doing it?
Well, exactly, yeah. I hate to say it. I think a lot of it, maybe it does bruise my ego a little bit. Maybe that's not a very wonderful thing to admit, but maybe that's also part of it. Maybe it's because like I want to, you know, create the best that I can. But you're right, you can't please everyone. The best thing to do is to just, you know, accept that it happens, move on, and make the best goddamn show that you can make, I guess.
Yeah,
exactly.
Please yourself first.
Well,
yeah, but I mean,
I want to say something else too. A little word of encouragement too. I mean, anyone that goes on YouTube that sees one of your shows online and actually sees the numbers, it's like 1.2K or this and that for certain episodes and stuff. And it's just the thing is that kind of thing. Is a testament to how well you're doing, how well received you are throughout over the world, much you're doing a great thing.
And then,
thank you.
Now,
I really appreciate
that. Something else to think about and consider,
sort of,
too.
The more positive perspective on things.
Just the naysayers are so like little, and to look at the numbers and look at the people that that actually are really receptive to you, and what you're doing, it's a good idea to kind of let that seep in if you haven't, and realize that what you do was a great idea. For you, it's one of the best. I look on YouTube for certain things, and like I said, I don't like most of the top tens and most of, you know, you and like I've been saying too. I said at the beginning of the show before you came on, I wish that producers would actually extend their hand to you to use some of your stuff as like. Some of the extras in some of the special edition DVDs about movies. It's
more
that good.
So they have my permission to use it.
Yeah. Now I'll say this much: when it comes to the naysayers, I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing because I forgot the exact wording offhand. But you know, something I've always looked at whenever I always get the poor reviews and things like that. You know, it's kind of the words of Winston Churchill, you know, who said that you've made an enemy. Yeah. And that's good. That means that you stood up for something, you know.
Yeah.
Each of your videos, you could see the passion coming through right off the bat, even behind the sunglasses, by the way. You know, your eyes do light up on certain conditions. So,
Well, another thing,
you know,
too, is if you get thousands, if not millions of viewers, how can, like, a handful of people out of that not, like, you know, they live with their moms in the basement or something, whatever the case, and they just, they're angry at the world and they just want to lash out. And they see you and they go, oh, look at your sunglasses, look at your accent, oh, you're mispronouncing everything, that's just terrible. There's always critics. There's always critics. And that goes to show that you're successful that way, too, because people are paying attention to you, good, bad, or indifferent.
Can I just add something to that? You said something that I think is really important, and that is actually something that really resonates with me. You said that, like, a lot of them are angry and they want to lash out, and I actually think that's sad. It's not good to live your life and be angry. So I hope that eventually that they can reach out, whether it's to a loved one or to any kind of help, because it's life should be an enjoyment. It should be a pleasure. And yeah, I think a lot of people are quite angry and a lot of people are hurt at the moment. And I think a lot of people are struggling. And a lot of the naysaying comments probably isn't coming from true nastiness within them, but probably because, you know, they generally do have an issue. So I do actually think that that's upsetting. I hope that, you know, if there is someone, one of them, if one of them are struggling, I hope that they, you know, I wish them all the best. And I really do hope that they get help. And I'm always going to be here when they want to come back and talk about movies.
Yeah.
Which is,
well, Mark, you could also remember
better
too.
Myself. That is excellent too.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
I said too, your responses for some of them that I see on Facebook and such, I called it sarcastic love, but I mean, you're very good at responding that way too, because there's no reason to, like, diss you. What you do is really great, and it has to be just because they're miserable themselves.
I know.
But at the end of the day, it's all about movies.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
at the end of the
too,
day, yeah, and
saying.
It's your passion. It's all of our passion,
yeah,
too.
Thing,
I mean, if we didn't care about movies, we wouldn't be watching you. If you didn't care about movies, you wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all
well,
the passion for movies, behind-the-scenes stuff and everything.
Hey, Mark, there's an
I
old saying, those who can do,
pop
those who can't criticize. So that's how life is sometimes. So you're doing it,
yeah,
and others who can't, they're going to try to knock you down. So that's just human nature on some individuals. But, you know,
yeah,
keep doing the good
now,
work, man.
I know we have a very limited time here on our after show here. I think we've only got a couple of minutes left. If I could do something to end the show and make it, like, pretty fucking cool, am I allowed to do so?
Yeah, okay. No problem with
Mark,
you guys.
Mr. Mark.
Yeah.
It was so awesome to be able to talk with you and have a conversation with you and be honest, all of us with each other.
Mate, the pleasure was all mine.
This is the greatest thing.
Oh,
so what I want to do is I want to end the show with this.
Mm-hmm. See ya.
And keep up the good work, too.
Oh, hold on a second, though. Francie has some.
I
have something to say, too. God bless you, Mark, again. It's really great to have you on, Francine Friends, and to be able to talk to you personally. And maybe, you know, somewhere down the line and stuff, we can have more phone conversations, just you and me. And, you know, whatever. But keep doing what you do. And I'm going to wait for your next YouTube video with anticipation.
Do you want to know what it's going to be, or do you want it to be a surprise?
Yeah,
that's
it always is
ask.
A surprise.
Are you allowed
too.
To share?
You just did, William was talking about Titanic, and then you just did Castaway, too. So it's like something new every week. It's like, and like I said, that's one of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning is see what you've done next. And so, but anyway, it was. Oh, pardon me?
I said, I'm really glad that you're enjoying the show. I really, really am glad.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Keep it up, please.
Yeah,
keep up the great work.
Yeah, awesomeness,
I'm quite
total awesomeness. Also, since the show is going down to an end, I wanted to say that. And, you know, you're an Aussie friend of mine. Even though we've never met face-to-face, I'm finally talking to you. I hold you in my heart. I'm going to keep watching your show. And everybody, keep watching Mark Bishop's show. It's awesome. If the listeners that don't have any idea what we're talking about, please look him up. And before we go, well, I'm going to bring you over to Francie. And Francie, tell him where to find him so that he can exploit himself.
Yeah, Minty, give up all your websites where we can find you, because the really cool thing is that you control those websites. There's not somebody that's behind the counter saying, yeah, Minty, yeah, you're cute.
Yeah.
So give us all your websites.
I'm on Instagram. Just look up Minty Comedic Arts on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Minty Comedic Arts on Facebook, and of course YouTube. And I'm on Twitter, but on Twitter, for some reason I don't know why, but I think my name is under M Fresh. Yeah, M Fresh.
All right.
Hey, that sounds like a rapper name.
That does.
Because when I first started, my name wasn't Minty. It was Minty Fresh.
Oh.
Mentos.
When I first started, Minty Comedic Arts was actually called Minty Fresh Comedic Arts, which is weird looking back at it now. I think somewhere on Facebook there's even like an old logo that I designed that has Minty Fresh Comedic Arts on it.
Oh, that's cute.
But I mean, it's good to look back on those ones, because even if they did sound crazy, they still, you know, they got their own little ring to it. It's got its own personality.
Yeah, well, I created Minty Comedic Arts back in 2012, so it's actually nearly 10 years old now, which is insane. It's weird. It's cool. It's great. And I hope
time
that it's entertaining flight. Everyone.
Well,
you're
still
doing
married,
great so far.
You were married for a generation.
Oh, wow.
What is that? I don't know. I was trying to come up with something clever.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, you're
no,
going to name forever.
Okay. What I
Mark,
need to know is...
This has actually been a very big pleasure of ours. And
oh, totally awesome, dude. Totally
and I'm,
awesome.
No,
I'm totally sorry. The first time we scheduled you, which was Easter Sunday here in California, but it was Monday at your time, and I totally got sick. And you were just let's reschedule it. I'm fine. You know, I got to unpack. Because you just bought a house.
His house is awesome, by the way.
And we're going to come swimming.
I'm trying to make it look like Comic-Con.
Nice.
We're going to come swimming.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome to come to my pool party.
We're going to knock on your door. We're going to have a hippopotamus and a donkey on
right,
our
right. You
waist.
Won me a hippopotamus. You won me over a hippopotamus.
Wait a minute. You guys are talking
you
about
donkeys and
hippopotamuses.
You don't have to say anymore.
Donkeys and
we're
hippopotamuses
come swimming,
in a pool.
Minty. We're going to come swimming.
We're going to come swimming. We're going to surprise you after quarantine. We're going to book a flight, and we want to meet Squiggles.
Squiggles?
Yeah, Squiggles is currently in a cupboard here. And it's actually winter here. I actually jumped in the pool the other day, and I swear I nearly got pneumonia. It was like stone cold. But, in the summer, that pool is going to be booming.
Nick, he's got this little up-ground pool, not compared to yours. And he went swimming. I was like, are you crazy? It's 80 degrees. That water is cold. He's like, jump in.
I'm used to it.
Well, I mean, nothing says a brisk wake-up call than a nice dip in the pool anyways.
Yeah.
Then you grab the coffee afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, Minty, this has actually been a really big honor, and I'm so happy that you did this show with us.
Well, for sure.
Well, I'm glad
that
I can make you happy, and I hope that I've made your day a bit more nice and interesting. That's why I do it. I'm glad that I could make you happy.
Well, not only
I'm gonna
not
watch
only
six
that,
hours
Ava,
of your videos tomorrow. You know that, right?
We get to have an insight onto what you do. We get to really delve into, you know, what you do and why you do it and what your passion is. That's the most important thing that we're looking into here. In having you on the show, we really get to know who you are and why you do what you do. And that's, dude, I got
to
say.
Yeah, and me, like, I try to research a guest, and I do one guest a week. And I stalked you, by the way, today.
don't listen to her. She didn't do that.
Oh,
don't get
yeah.
nervous. Don't worry. She's
friendly
stalking
you. Don't worry about it.
It is hard to find research, and I will tell you, I got Brett here. You know who Florence Henderson is, right?
You remember
Minty,
what we did with Florence
Art,
Henderson?
You know
holy crap.
Florence Henderson is, right?
Here's the lady.
Yeah.
Brady.
We're
moving
yeah,
on
basically,
up.
Yeah.
She was the maid on the Jeffersons.
We had
her on the show. Stupid me.
Mom Brady.
No, the Florence. Jeffersons. Florence, the maid on the Jeffersons. Had her on the show.
Marla Gibbs.
I looked at her IMBD and
Marla
it said
it was,
married
it was,
at the age of 14.
Okay, listen, listen.
Like, how old do you think
do you
want
to,
I am?
Do you want to know why?
Here's what happened.
As soon as you said Jetsons, I looked over at my merch just by sheer happenstance and just caught eyes with my Jetsons themed Hot Wheel car. As soon as you said Jetsons.
Nice.
Well, sometimes you blind in mysterious ways.
That's always the fun part.
Here's
though,
what
you know?
Happened. I'm gonna take over right here, and I'm gonna tell you what happened with Florence Henderson. Actually, it was Marla Gibbs. Okay, we had Marla Gibbs on the show, and what happened was we had a lot of bad information from IMDb. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. We were interviewing her on the show, and our research is based on IMDb on this particular interview, and there was just like a bunch of bad information, and it went really badly. It went really badly on Francie and Friends, and we were all like, oh my God, you know. So, but at the end of the day, when we realized our mistakes,
we're all human and we all make mistakes, and we can only go by the information that we're given. And if I ever did an interview with anyone and they had a heap of false information about me, I'll be making light of it, and I'll sort of, you know, be chuckling, sort of, you know, ease the tension, sort of thing. And you know, we're only human. We can only do so much, and we can only go by the information that we're given.
My point is that Francie was able to get back in contact with her after this disastrous show, and she decided to come back on the show knowing that we had corrected information, and then she came back and allowed us to correct all of these things. That was like the most amazing thing, right, Francie?
Right. Yeah. So she gave you guys another chance.
She loved me to correct everything and get it all straight, and just everything was like totally cool after that, you know?
Yeah, she would even call me at 2 a.m. and I'm like, what? She's like, it's my
I'll just say now that if anyone ever makes a mistake with me or with the information or anything, I'll just say now, no biggie.
My point is it is hard to find out,
you know, what's truth, what's not. And that's one thing that it looks like you're doing. You're, like, not doing fake news. You're saying, this is it.
No, we're always going to make sure that we have the correct information that goes out. And if we ever find anything that was on our show that was like a misunderstanding, we're always going to work to make sure that all that is corrected so that nobody has any misunderstanding about anything. But I will say, dude, listen, man, you're a guy that, holy crap, I've loved watching you for numerous years, and it's so awesome to be able to talk with you now and just get your, like, how you do things and what you do. And I want everybody that's listening to the show to understand that you're not a part of a production studio. You're not a part of a large, you know, conglomerate or whatever, because there's a lot of them out there that do YouTube videos and stuff like that. You are a dude, you're a man that just does your own thing, and I want that to be understood, period. To be understood, this is what you do, this is your passion, you do it from your home. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, you represent the independent community, which is great.
Exactly.
If I ever go quiet, because I'm just sort of taking it all in. So just, but yeah, wow, I'm really taking it in. Thank you very much. It's really helped me put things into perspective. I really, really appreciate it.
Mark, I gotta tell you, it has definitely been a pleasure to talk with you.
A pleasure.
It's 100% a pleasure. And I don't want the British woman to cut us off out of nowhere. So we're gonna play a little bit of Hesitation Blues.
I was gonna say, I was going to ask if I could play an outro in lieu of that, in honor of what Mark does.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That works on my end.
Let's
see what the hostess says.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. She's the hostess.
They're about to cut us off, so let's do the closing song.
Woke up this morning looking for my shoes. Looked behind the trunk, found the Hesitation Blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Blues overtake. take me right away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?